In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to be registered. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in the manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.
Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thanks, Dan, Pastor Dan, and Pastor Carmen. You guys, thanks for reading that story. It's great to read the Christmas story on Christmas Day, isn't it, together? Thank you, Steve, so much. Steve, we so appreciate you. I don't know if you hear what he's playing back there, but it's almost like we're creating a movie score as we're going. I mean, the right music to the right stuff that's being said, and you're very talented that way, Steve. I appreciate that. I love being with you at Christmas. I really love it. I love it. I feel like we're family. I have my family, my extended family that has come from all over. We spent Christmas Eve last night together, and then this morning I woke up with my kids, and we were alone in the house because my brother and his family were staying with my parents, and we got up early and opened the stockings and had breakfast and the whole thing. And so I feel like I've already had Christmas, and now I'm going to have another Christmas here, and then we're going to go to another Christmas afterwards. In fact, my brother and his wife Laura are there. They were here last night, but this morning two of their three daughters, Rebecca and Christina, are here with us, and we're really happy to have them here as well. Yeah, we can clap for them. It's okay. Yeah, you guys are great. And my mom and dad are here too, and you'll hear more about them a little bit later. Love growing up with my family at Christmas time. I've got a great family. But really special to me today is my granny. She told me last night I could tell you how old she was. I wasn't going to do that, but she gave me permission. 91 years old. And Granny and my granddad, who's gone to be with the Lord, both pastored in Foursquare churches most of their adult life, and so all up and down the West Coast. And so Granny is a hero to me, and I'm really glad that she's here celebrating with us. I'm glad you're here celebrating with us too. Whether you have a lot of family and this is just a break in a busy day, or maybe this is the only thing you're going to do at Christmas time where you're going to see other people, we love you. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're family. Why don't you all come home with me afterwards and we'll have lunch together at my house, okay? And it's great. This season at Christmas time, we as a church have been talking, celebrating the Emmanuel reality. How many of you remember what does Emmanuel stand for? God with us. Emmanuel. So we've been spending the last few weeks just talking about what does that mean that God himself came to be with us, that God himself moved into the neighborhood that he created. Matthew 1:23 quotes Isaiah 7:14. It's an amazing thing that in Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah wrote that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And then Matthew makes sure that everybody knows what that means. And he goes on to say, that means God with us. That means that the God who formed the whole universe by a command and who sustains it by his very word became human. He limited himself to a human body. He entered, this creator of the cosmos entered into his own creation, all because he loved us so much. And he still loves us very much. In fact, that's one of the core pieces of the core message of the good news of Jesus. Earlier, we read a great Christmas text. Deborah read what is my favorite Christmas text about God who came to become one of us, who decided that the Word, eternal Word, would become flesh. That's an amazing thing John writes about Christmas. But three chapters later, he writes another of what I think is one of the greatest Christmas verses in the whole Bible. You may never have heard it as a Christmas verse. My guess is if you grew up in church, or even if you've had any exposure to church at all or the Bible, you've heard this verse. If you've ever heard a verse, you've heard this one. And I think it's the greatest Christmas verse ever written. And it's in John 3:16. And it says this. Read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's why Jesus came at Christmas. He was the gift that the Father gave to humanity, so that whoever believes in him, God sent his Son to give you eternal life. See, here's the problem. Humanity, humans, you and I, any person that ever lived, was stuck in death, and we can't find our way out of death into life. But people have been trying for millennia to work their way to God. That's the very definition of religion. People trying to be good enough, trying to find their way to God. But see, God is too big. He's too powerful. He's too other. Frankly, God is too alive. And the problem is death and life don't coexist very well together. You know that? Life and death are two different things. And God is so alive. In fact, he's the very definition of life, that people who were born into death could never get close enough on our own to a God whose very definition is life. But that ultimate source of life and love loved us deeply. And because we couldn't find a way to get to him, he came to us. And he made a way for us to get to know him. This definition of life, this definition of love, said, I'm going to come because I love you, and I'm going to make it possible for you to have life that never ends. That's the definition of Christmas. That's the message that we preach. And we don't find God through our own religious efforts, but through his free gift of himself that was first revealed in the story of Christmas and that culminates with his sacrifice on the cross. God with us. I didn't have to find my way to God. I didn't have to become good enough for God. I didn't have to become religious enough for God. I didn't have to join a church. I didn't have to check off the boxes. I didn't have to do anything in of myself, because God says that salvation is a free gift. It's a free gift that he gives to us. And so God came to us. He didn't just throw a gift from heaven and say, here you go, unwrap it, pick it up. He actually came himself to give the gift of himself at Christmas time. God with us. Say that with me. God with us. When I was growing up, for a few years, summers, I think starting at about 11, 12, 13 years old, right in there, my dad would I was going to say invite me, but really make me was the reality, during the summer, go work with him. My dad was a carpet layer. And dad wanted to teach me how to work with my hands and how to do really practical things like laying carpet and using a hammer and a screwdriver and stuff, and it didn't work at all. But I worked with him for a few couple of years in the summer times, and I'd go and lay carpet all over the San Joaquin Valley. And my favorite time of the day was every day at about noon, 11:30 or noon. We would quit work for a while. We'd sit down on usually the pad was down, but the carpet wasn't yet. So we'd sit down on the pad and we'd unpack the lunch that Mom had made for us. And he'd turn on the radio and he'd find this station that at noon, straight up at noon sharp, there was a guy that would come on the radio and talk, and we would listen to him every day. His name was Paul Harvey. Anybody know who Paul Harvey is? Paul Harvey. We would listen to Paul Harvey every day, and Paul Harvey would tell stories, and he was a great storyteller, and he captured a young man's imagination. But Paul Harvey has a Christmas story that's very famous. You may have heard it. You may not have heard it. But it's about a family at Christmas Eve, and this story has been repeated countless times, and I want to repeat it to you because it has everything to do with what we've been talking about. This family had a tradition where the mother and the children would go to the Christmas Eve service and the father would stay home and read the paper. And when the family returns home from church, they would gather to open up all of the presents. See, the father wasn't an evil man. He loved his family, but he just couldn't believe in the childhood stories of God coming as a baby in a manger. He couldn't believe those anymore. And as the family left for church, he would open up the evening paper and began to read by the fireplace. And that night was no exception. Suddenly, as he was reading the paper, he heard tapping on the window. And he looked over at the window, wondering if there was somebody there. But it was a bird flying against the glass of the window, trying to get out of the snow into the warmth of his home. The man had compassion on the bird, and he actually went outside, hoping to bring it in. And as he approached the bird, it just flew against the window even harder. And pretty soon the bird flew into the bushes below the window, half frozen, yet too afraid to be caught by this huge man. And the more the man tried to reach for the bird, the more the bird flew frantically into the snow and the thorns of the bushes. After a few minutes in the cold and seeing the bird continue to injure itself, the man finally yelled out in frustration, "Stupid bird! Can't you understand that I'm trying to help?" The man paused and thought, if only you understood what I was really trying to do, you wouldn't fly away. If only I could become a bird and get you to understand. Just then, the church bells rang as they always have on the hour. But when the man heard the bells this time, he fell to his knees and began to cry, saying, "Oh God, I didn't understand. Oh God, I didn't understand." And that's the rest of the story. At Christmas, we look at a world that's dark and cold. We look at a world that's injurious. We look at a world that's inhospitable to true life. We look all around us and see the brokenness outside of us, and we recognize the brokenness inside of us. And we can't figure out how to get out of the cold and out of the dark and into the warmth and into the light. But I'm reminded of what missionary E. Stanley Jones wrote in 1942. He said, "The early Christians didn't say in dismay, 'Look at what the world has come to.' But in delight, they said, 'Look at what has come to the world.'" Look at what has come to the world, not look what the world's come to. God with us. Say that again with me. God with us. Look at what has come to the world, not just Jesus as a baby, but the God-man growing up among us as one of us, his whole life embracing the purpose for which he came to free us from the destruction of sin and the bondage of Satan, to rescue us from the cold and the dark, and to bring us into his home that's full of warmth and full of light and full of love, because that's his very definition. When he died on the cross and he rose again, Jesus made that possible. So when we look at the cradle at Christmas time, when we look at a manger scene, when we celebrate the baby, we have to remember that he came for a specific purpose. He didn't just fall into the purpose. It just didn't happen to him. He knew when he was submitting himself to become a human being that he would grow up and die for your sins and my sins, that he would die to open up a door to invite us into his home. And now today he offers us that same eternal resurrection life. And he offers it as a free gift. John 3:16 says that God gave himself to be with us so that whoever believes in him would not be stuck in death, but have eternal life. Today, this Christmas time, I loved that song. This Christmas time, come without fear. Come with full hope. Come knowing that God loves you. This Christmas time, God offers us light in the midst of our darkness, and he invites us into a family defined by life and not by death. Jesus came to make dead people alive. Today, let the universal reality of God with us that we celebrate at Christmas. Pastor Jack talked about being in Bloomingdale's and that the culture itself will even be okay playing Christmas music. One of my favorite places to hang out at Christmas time is in Starbucks, and I just wait for a Jesus song to come on, right? I just wait for Christmas to be proclaimed in the middle of a coffee shop, and I love it. And our culture can say, yes, Christmas may be the idea of God with us, but can you take it a step further? From the universal concept of God with us to the personal reality of God in you and God in me. Let the light of life not just shine over our world, but also shine into our hearts. The song we sang at the beginning of our service, O Little Town of Bethlehem, such a deep, deep, theologically rich song, says, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Maybe your soul would open up to enter, letting the dear Christ enter into your heart. It goes on to say, oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Let's pray. Lord, this Christmas day, what a great day to have church. What a great day to celebrate you, Lord. What a great day to come together and honor the reality of God with us. Christ coming to our hearts, the light of God being shed abroad into our hearts. Lord, we open up our hearts to that. And today, if we've known you for a long time, I pray that there would be a special encounter with you this Christmas time, 2016, that we would recognize what it's all about. Lord, for some of us, we don't know you. For some of us, we were invited by a friend or a family member, or maybe we just stumbled into church thinking, hey, it's Christmas and I should at least try this thing. Lord, I want people to know that this isn't about religion. This isn't about joining our church. Lord, we want to preach the message of a God who loved us so very dearly that he became one of us. And then he grew up not ever sinning. Sinless God to take away our sins. Sinless God dying on the cross, paying the price for the sins we had committed, for the rebellion that we had instituted against God. And Lord, far from you trying to come and beat us up over that sin, you took the beating yourself. And then you opened the door saying, would you come and abide with me? Would you come and be with me? So Lord, today, this morning, I pray that there would be people in this room, just like there were last night, who on Christmas, last night, Christmas Eve, and this morning, Christmas Day, 2016, would be the day that not only they celebrate you, Jesus, being born into the world, but it will be the day forevermore that they celebrate Jesus being born into their hearts. In Jesus' name. The Bible says that when we turn around from our own way and we embrace Jesus' way, when we declare that he's the Lord of our lives, when we open up our hearts to him, that he'll come in and start living in us. He'll give us a brand new life. I want to encourage you to do that. Sometimes in our church, we'll ask people to raise their hands if they're interested in doing that. But today we're going to do that differently. In a minute, we're going to pass the light of the candle. And thanks, Deborah. And we're going to pass this light around as we're singing a couple of songs that have to do with Christmas. And you're going to see it's an amazing, amazing thing. But as we pass the light, we're going to say, I give you this light in Jesus' name. Because it represents the passing of the light of God from person to person. That Jesus comes into our life, and as we light up with his life, that we can pass that light to other people. I give you this light in Jesus' name. And if you need to say yes to Jesus, if you need to come back to Jesus, If you know that you need to open your heart to Jesus in a special way this morning, just really gently, just say, I receive this light. And there's nothing magical about receiving the light on a candle or even saying the words, I receive this light, but it would signify an open heart that would say, I'm opening my heart to receiving the light of God today. How many of you think that's a wonderful thing? Yeah. So maybe for the first time, or maybe you're coming back to the Lord, or maybe just this Christmas, you need a special dose of God's light. Say, I receive this light. So we're going to sing. We're going to distribute the candles. Hold on to them. We'll talk a little bit about it. We'll try to do it quickly so there's not so much wax and we don't burn down the place. Hold your candle straight like this. That'll help with the wax. But Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this place. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name.